Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Remember, we talked about this word sanctification. And here in 1 Thessalonians 4, he begins this discussion by saying we should be sanctified. Remember, we talked about how that is the process during this time frame of our experience where God is changing us more and more into who we really are to be in Christ, knocking off the rough edges, helping us to extract some things from life, take some steps in life to be growing in Christ. So all that is taking place. Now, he mentions in the remaining portion of this book, which is chapter 4 and chapter 5, how that works in some areas of life. You recall verses 1 through 7, we talked about in our sexual life, our sexual expression, the boundaries of that. So sexual purity is how it played out, and we looked at that culture that they lived in, how it's very similar to ours in kind of a anything-goes mentality of our culture. Now we come to the second one, and you see this in verse 9. I just want us to read verses 9 through 12 for our study today. And let me read them. You follow along. I hope you have a Bible to follow along. That would be very, very helpful for our study today. So he goes on to the next subject of sanctification. But concerning brotherly love, I have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you aspire to lead a quiet life, and to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. It's pretty clear that the subject matter he's talking about when he says concerning brotherly love as he begins it. But then go back to down to the end of verse 10, he says that you may increase more and more. Today we're going to talk about how we need to love more every day and how this needs to be fleshed out. This is part of our expression of who we are in Christ. This is part of how we express our love for Him as we love each other. And you might say, now I know there's a little bit of a temptation because the Bible says so much about love and we talk about it all the time. There's always this subtle temptation just to you don't do this actually, but sort of, if I could do the picture, we kind of turn down the volume of our mind because I've heard all that before, you know, just kind of turn it down and then I can turn up the volume of other things in my life. So stick with me. This is important. This is important for us. And he begins here by talking about the necessity of it. But concerning brotherly love, I have no need that I should write to you that you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Now, I'm going to extract three things that are the results of loving one another. And then we're going to get into the practicality of what loving one another actually looks like. So, first of all, love brings some wonderful results, and here they are in front of you. The first one's in the verse I just read to you, in verse 9. It is simply this. They bring blessings to God Himself. It says, this is what God wants you to do because I have no need to write to you. He says, I really don't need to write this down. I don't need to put this in writing. I'm going to, but I don't really need to because this is something God has already taught us. For you yourselves are taught by God Himself, to love one another. Love of us to us, from us to others is very near to the heart of God Himself. It's what He commanded. It's what He expects. It's what He delights in. It's what He finds pleasure in. And sometimes this concept of me being a blessing back to God, we all know about, Lord, we want your blessings flowing to us. But you know what? We should have some blessings that flow from us back to God as we live in obedience, as we live the way that we should. So God is pleased. You ever think about this? As we would choose to love someone, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's going on in that particular instance, God looks down and God smiles because He's blessed that we do what He wants us to do. The second result is a little closer to home. Notice down in verse verse 12, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. And we'll talk about the specifics of that expression of love, but also it does something for us. It brings blessings to us as well as to God. There is blessing in loving other people. Now, when it comes to loving people, this takes some choice. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. But as we choose to do that, when we connect with what God wants us to do, when we're fulfilling our purpose, when we're avoiding the alternatives that sometimes we put into play in our lives to loving people, when we do it the right way, there's blessings that come to us. We're living in a way where God can, it's sort of like unlocking more of His blessings in our life. And I don't know if you play video games or not. I'm not a video gamer. Don't judge me on that. Some of you younger folks, right? But I do know this. One of the catches that you'll be playing the game, right? And then if you'll pay a little more money, you can unlock, you know, another item, another life, another something. And I suspect there's probably a profit motive in that, don't you think? Because if they really were generous, they could just unlock all the game for you. But you have to unlock it. In some ways, our choosing to love people is sort of like the unlock code for additional blessings to come from God. It lets it flow unhindered to us. So there's blessings for us. And lastly, you see that in this passage, in verse 12, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside. There are blessings that go to others. And this might be the one that might be the most easy to understand. If I love somebody, of course they're going to receive a blessing. Of course they're going to receive something of benefit if I choose to love. But we also understand we give blessing back to God. God gives blessing to us. And maybe we would say it this way. If you look on the screen, blessing to God, blessing to us, blessing to others. That's a triple play. And this is the triple play of how this works in our lives. So when He calls us in this passage, and concerning brotherly love, I have no need to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Here's where we need to land today. We understand those. Those are motivating things. But now we need to push out the boundaries, and we need to do this more and more. He gives an example here of what they were doing in verse 10, just so we understand the language and what we're talking about. It says, indeed you do so. You're already doing it. Church of Thessalonica, people of this church, you're already doing it. I see it, I know it, I'm aware of it. But do more. And I would say the same to you, and I'd say the same to us. We're already doing it. But let's not believe that we've arrived. Don't not believe that we've maxed out, that we've hit the limit, that we've hit the glass ceiling. No, we can break through, and we can do more and more. And He says there in that verse I just read to you, verse 10, toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. Well, Macedonia was the Roman province in which Thessalonica was located. So He says, in your home area, in your region, we might say it this way, in your state or in your extended community, your county perhaps, in your area, this is going out, and I want you to do this more and more. And I just want to say this, I believe that about us, that we are a loving church and you're a loving people. I don't have to referee too many fights. I keep my whistle and my striped shirt in the closet most of the time. But we can do better. We can do more, especially pushing out the boundaries in our community, all right? So that's all sort of introductory. This is what He calls us to do. This is the why we do it. Let's talk about how we can increase in our love. We increase in love by seeking three things. And you're going to see them right here in the text. Four things right here in the text. And the first one is simply in what we just read in verse 10, that you increase more and more. Increase more and more. What do we need to seek? By seeking to love more than we have, to push out the boundaries of that love. Now, maybe we need to stop and say, well, let's define what love is. That might seem like a strange thing to do because all of us know something about what love is. But I would also suggest to you that many times our view of love is substandard, and sometimes it has been slightly altered from God's standard by the world in which we live. If you go back to what He says now concerning brotherly love in verse 9, it's the Greek word. Brotherly love is actually one word. It's the Greek word we get the name that we know of, perhaps a little more familiar, Philadelphia. Phileo is the Greek word for loving on a brotherly level. Delphos is a Greek word for city. So Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. I've been to Philadelphia. I'm not sure it lives up to its name. If anyone's listening from Philadelphia or you're from Philadelphia, I still am not going to change my opinion of Philadelphia. But anyway, but he says this to us. You are a people of Philadelphia. You're a people of brotherly love. We should be a community of brotherly love. And then when I look at myself, and that's all I want to look at this morning, I want you to get out the mental mirror and look at yourself. But sometimes I don't live up to my name either, my calling either. Sometimes Philadelphia is not stamped across my behavior, even though it should be stamped across who I am. So it's that sort of thing. Now, it is something that is taught us, but verse 9, he says, it's been taught to us by God, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. This to love more, where do we learn how to do it? We learn from our relationship that we have with God Himself. It's not the love that we see on this level. It's love that is the God-man connection of love. Now, there's several aspects of the God kind of love that we need to think about. And this is how we push out. This is how we do more, by adopting this definition and this standard of love. For one thing, that kind of love is not so much based on feelings and emotion as it is in choice and action. I want to say that again because I want you to hear me carefully, okay? The God kind of love, the love we're taught by God, is not so much in feelings and emotion as it is in choice and action. Now, we are in the culture in which we live, and when we talk about love, it almost always is expressed in feelings and emotion. And I do not want to deny, I'm not a total anti-romantic here. I don't want to deny that you can't have feelings associated with it, but love goes beyond just feelings. And I know some of you are Hallmark movie junkies. I know who you are. And you watch, and if you like those movies, it always has a happy ending, you know, and I could write the script. I mean, if you just give me a couple names and what city they live in and what their occupations are, it's the same sort of, you know, it's the same template for every movie. But it's always this, I just meet this guy, I meet this girl, and the emotions just sweep me away and I couldn't help it. Now, there's nothing wrong with those kind of feelings and that sort of romanticism. But I assure you, have you ever noticed how where does every Hallmark movie end? Hallmark love story ends. Either the first kiss, or they get engaged, or they get married, right? Where does marriage really get tough, as we were talking about last week in verses 1 through 8? Is it the first kiss, the engagement, or the wedding ceremony? Shake your head vociferously right and left. The real love is living with somebody and dealing with your own baggage and their baggage and trying to put it together and get over this. So it's a lot more about choice and action than it is about emotion and feeling. If we get trapped in the emotional part, I'm just not feeling it today, or I feel this way, or I don't feel that way, and my feelings have changed, and I've fallen out of love, if that's the standard, we're not going to last very long. That's true in a marital relationship. That's true in just interpersonal relationships. Choice. Now, it's choice and action. And think about how God loved us. Yes, He loved us with heart. He loved us with emotion. I don't deny that. But it was choice in the fact that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die, to be dead, death, in a horrible way on the cross, so that you and I could have a renewed relationship with Him through salvation. It was choice. It was also action. I could go through that last sentence again, and you see action all the way through it. And also, let me add one more word when we think about the God kind of love. It is God's love which is not conditioned on the behavior of the recipient of that love. I'm going to get a little ouchy here. We all love unconditional love when it's coming this way. And all of us struggle with giving back that same kind of love because ordinarily, I don't want to be too down on you, but let me just say it this way. This is what we do. We love the unconditional love for God, and we give conditional love back to other people. We base it on some standard, and we have to fight our way through to love people because it's what God wants me to do. It's what God calls me to do. It's part of what He has done for me. And when you think about it, though, this helps us process. This is part of that being taught by God, is that God loved us not because we had anything that was of any value to be loving toward. We were sinners. The Bible says we were enemies of God. We were rebels. We were deserving of judgment. We were corrupt. We were dead spiritually. We got to the point of spiritual deadness. And we had done everything wrong. All we deserved was judgment. And God says, I love them because of who I am, not because of who they are. The Apostle John, when he wrote his first epistle to John, described it this way. He's trying to describe who God is. Says, well, God is love. I mean, it's just so core to who He is. And it's His nature. He loved us because of who He is, not because of us. And when we love, as we are taught by God, this should help us love more. Action, choice, and not conditioned on the behavior of the other person. Because that other person's behavior is always going to be, on some level, deficient. Could I just throw that in reverse? And our behavior is always going to be, on some level, deficient. Love has to come from, I choose, I act in love, regardless of that other person's behavior. Now, it doesn't mean there can't be boundaries and protections, and I don't want to get too far down that road, but that's the general principle. It says, this is what we learned about love of God. It's the nature of who God is, and He loves you. Let me just take a moment and say this. If you're here this morning, you're listening in this morning, that you have not trusted Him as your Savior, you've not received His love into your life, this should be motivation enough that God loved you enough to give His only begotten Son, His only Son, to die for you, to give you the opportunity to trust Him for eternal life and have a relationship with Him. God loves you. He is demonstrated in choice and in action and also from heart. Why don't you come to Him? All He wants you to do is turn from your sin. You have nothing else to bring. Just here's my damaged goods. Here's my record. I come to you. But if we believe that He did that for you, if you believe that He did that for you personally, you accept that, forgiveness flows. A life begins anew. An eternal life is given to you. If you need help with that decision, we'd love to have a conversation with you. Anytime, anywhere. After the service, you can talk to one of us. Maybe you have a Christian friend or family member you've come with or you can talk to in your life, and I encourage you to take that step. Now, I want to put something into your thinking. We got three more to cover quickly. I want to put this into your thinking, all right? I want you to at least make a mental, and if you want to write it down, that's fine, to make a mental list of who you would put on your love more list. Who needs to be on your love more list? Who needs to be the person that you choose to love and give action of love, even when, you know what, I just don't really feel like they deserve it? That you push through that boundary of conditionally loving and love because that's what God wants you to do. Is there somebody that flashes in your mind? Maybe it's someone that's sitting in the room with you even now. Maybe it is someone that you share a home with. Maybe it is someone you work with. Maybe to someone that's part of your extended family. Maybe it's that neighbor that has the barking dog at 3 a.m. I don't know who it is. But who should be on your love more list? I want that to begin working in your mind. I want you to be thinking about that. Some of you, I can tell by your faces, you're already uncomfortable with that. But that's okay. Let's push through. We'll come back to that in just a moment. And then he goes into this section. He says, you love to order all the brothers of Macedonia and so forth. But here's verse 11 and verse 12. He gets down to three more concepts. First of all, that you may aspire to lead a quiet life. That you may lead a quiet life. Just saying that, doesn't that sound good? Would you like to just lead a quiet life? Maybe a low drama life, a restful life versus a frantic, out of control, chaotic life. Well, it means that, but it means more than that. And I'm just going to say this. We need to love, to really increase our love. We do it by seeking more love and less noise in our life. And the noise is we have all of these things that pushes us away from seeking to love someone more. Sometimes it's just our busy franticness of all that we're going in life. Maybe there's some life changes we can make to simplify, to take some time. Maybe, probably more likely, it's this innate pull to serve self, which is the opposite of love. It's all about me, myself, and all my stuff and my things and my want and my agenda and my expectations and my feelings and my whatever. And friends, when you go down that hole, you are sucked into a dark, dark, dark place. There's an old saying that helps me remember this when I think about it. said the smallest package in the world is a person who's all wrapped up in themselves. And friends, sometimes we are the people who get the wrapping paper and the tape and the ribbon, and we are wrapping it around ourselves because it's all about me. That is not unusual. In fact, apart from God's work, that is entirely normal, but it is not the way that God wants us to live. So we need to push from this life of self-focus to them. And there's a couple other things we can put into, and part of it, we'll get to this with the number three in just a moment. But sometimes it's the dialogue that goes on in our minds as we think about people. Sometimes what we think about people and what runs through our preconditioned, our preconceptions about them robs us from that ability. It's the noise that robs us from the opportunity to love more. And sometimes we're rehearsing all those things from the past. And sometimes we won't let go of something from the past. And that's difficult, I confess. And sometimes it's the noise of just that person is different than me. That person I don't understand. That person is whatever it is. But that noise of our preconception, God wants us to break through to that level where we get to His love. So less noise. By just coming down to this purity of thought of, this is a person that I need to love. Who is on your love more list? Have you got a name? Have you got two names? Maybe some of you up to three or four. I don't want you to get too many names on the list, because I want you to focus on those names as we go forward. All right? Now, he comes back to this one. And this is a little ouchy too. It says, verse 11, that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. I don't think that could be any more plain. Just mind your own business. Now, he's going to give a practical outworking of that in verse 11 when he talks about working with your own hands. And then at the end of verse 12, that you may lack nothing. That's a subject he's going to revisit, particularly in 2 Thessalonians. Because in Greek culture, if you were part of the Greek culture, if you were just all into that, manual labor, working with your hands, that's what slaves do. If you work with your hands, that's below the dignity of our status in life. So it was a society that was very lazy and very focused on creature comforts, maybe a lot like our culture in many ways. And he says, no, you need to get busy, mind your own business, take care of your own stuff. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But it means simply this, less meddling in other people's lives. If we're going to love more, we need to meddle less in their mess and in their drama and their story. Because it really doesn't matter, does it? Because God loved us in spite of our mess and our story, and He loved us in choice and action. He loved us by what He has done for us, and He moved into this place of loving us unconditionally, not based on our performance, that we had to be good enough to earn His love. He just loved us anyway. That's how we come to this place. May God help us to move in that direction. Less meddling means a little less judgmental attitude. Have you noticed how it's very easy to fall into this trap? You pick anyone on the planet, and you can know all about their motives, everything about their intention, and what they're thinking at any moment, and I can judge them just like that. The thing is, we really don't know their intentions. We really don't know their motives. We really don't know what they're thinking. And that is, for the most part, unimportant in loving people, is you love them anyway. Sometimes that meddling is in judging. Sometimes that meddling is trying to change them. If I could just change them, if I could make them the person they need to be, then I'll love them. If they would just straighten up, if they would tweak that, change that. Now, we're going to talk about influence in just a moment, but so we do have a place where we come to the place where we help people change, but that is not the basis upon which we love them. This is going to be very difficult even for me to say. But if people never change, God calls us to love them. You think about people that do not trust Christ as their Savior, does God still love them? Yes, that does not mean He's going to withhold judgment and all the rest, but the love was already demonstrated through Christ in creation and so forth. So it's not based on performance. It's not based on their change. What do? We work with our hands to provide for ourselves, and also, it's not stated in the text, but by implication, so then we can provide for other people. There's two examples. I wish I could tell you the stories, but I do not have permission, and some of it's a little bit confidential, but in two instances this week, I've interacted with two people that have done some, in your church, in your church family, part of our congregation, have done some extreme things to serve some people in need. I mean, opening their own wallets and using their own time and their energy and sacrificing things they may have wanted to do to reach out and help somebody in a loving way. And I really wish I could tell you the whole story. That wouldn't be proper, but I just want to assure you that works of love are going on all around. I'm just amazed to see God's people work in that. And part of that is getting your hands dirty, going out and working and helping and serving. And we need to do that in life. Lastly, he comes to the end of verse 12. That you may walk, remember walk is that synonym for living, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside. Those are not part of the church family. Those are not part of the Christian community. Not part of the faith family that you're part of. People who need to know Christ as Savior. Part of this love is what gives us more influence, and this is what we seek. We seek more love, less noise, less meddling, more influence. And sometimes we think with getting people to come to Christ, if I could just get more of this into their mind. Well, the Word of God is important. It's what we preach. It's what we deliver. But you know what? The way we deliver it is equal importance to what it is we deliver. And if we deliver it with a judgmental attitude, a condescending attitude, an impatient attitude, that people feel like we think we're better than they attitude, we could preach all the truth all day long and it's not going to have any effect. But if we come to them in love and compassion and a listening ear and an understanding heart and just gently keep pointing them to the Savior, that's where influence comes from. He says, if you do these things, as he's talked about, that you love one another, let it be more and more, lead this quiet life, don't be minding your own business, taking care of your own stuff, and having the ability then with your own hands to do things for others in a loving way, that's how we connect with those who are on the outside. It's through our love attitude. Now, I want to ask you one more time. Who is on your love more list? Who is on your love more list? Who is it? And this is what I simply want you to do. You can jot these down or make a mental note, whatever works for you. And as we end today, I want you to pray along with me for the people that should be and are on your list. And then I want you to take this passage and I want you to reflect on it in these next few days, and just ask, Lord, would you just help me? I know I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing to them. I want to receive blessing from me. That's a motivation. I want you to give me more love, less noise, less meddling, and more influence in their life. Help me to love as you have loved me. And I simply want you to pray over those names, and I want to pray over my names, and just ask God to give me this love that's more and more. As he says in the end of verse 10, we urge you, brethren, that you may increase.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.